discussed the Gaonim, which is perhaps the high point of Jewish judicial autonomy and organization, and the fact that the Rishonim, both the Sephardic and the Ashkenazic Rishonim, that is starting from the Rif and the Rambam on the one hand and the Sephardic side, and Rabbeinu Tam and others on the Ashkenazic side, basically rebelled against the Gaonim in many respects, citing Talmudic law as being authoritative and the decisions of the Gaonim not necessarily being authoritative. And again, I remind you that at this juncture, if we're talking about the 10th or the 11th century, or even earlier, but after the Muslim conquests, the world was again, as it had been since the time of the Greeks and the Persians, divided into two major areas of control, one under Christian rule and the other under Muslim rule. And the situation under Muslim rule was formulated, as we read last week in the Quran, which definitely, on the one hand, definitely said that the Jews should decide cases amongst themselves, but on the other hand, also hinted at the right of appeal from the Jewish courts to the Muslim courts. And this affected the decisions of the Jewish courts, because they always had their eye open to see how, certainly during the period of the Gaonim that we saw last week, how the Muslim courts would react. The situation in the Christian lands was quite different. First of all, as we saw last time, in Islamic law, the judge, the imam, is always regarded as the qadi is always regarded as a representative of the central authority, whereas with the breakdown of the Roman Empire and the breakup of the lands into various different pieces, judging and was local in addition to being on a personal basis. Secondly, the attitudes of the Christians towards the Jews was generally more hostile than the attitudes of the Muslims towards the Jews. There was no great love relationship there either, but at least there was a well-defined situation. Thirdly, in Christian lands, one had the tradition of the Roman jurisdiction, namely granting Jews a certain amount of autonomy. The last one that we saw about 3 or 4 weeks ago had to do with the Theodosian Code, in which at least under the semi-fiction of being a board of arbitration, there was a substantial amount of Jewish autonomy. But on the other hand, there were conflicts between the church on the one hand and the ruling authorities on the other. And therefore, the actual level of autonomy within the Jewish community varied drastically from place to place within the Christian lands. I'll cite one extreme because I did not want to spend tonight. I want to spend tonight on the Rambam, but because the Rambam portrays in the middle of what we're going to study a picture quite opposite to the one that we get from the a charter granted by Henry IV. So you had a fairly good charter granted by Louis the Pious, which was in the 9th century, 778 to 840. And then the charter granted by Henry IV in 1090 read more or less like this. Their archi-synagogues shall judge in any dispute which occurs amongst them and against them, just like the city tribune amongst the townspeople. Since we wish that in all judicial matters they should have to turn to us alone, we order, by virtue of our royal authority, that no bishop, chamberlain, count, bailiff, nor anyone else, except the person elected by themselves from their midst, shall presume to treat with them or against them in any matter or in any judicial proceeding. Only the person whom, in view of their belonging to our treasury, the emperor, following their own election, had placed at their head, should do so. If a Jew should have a controversy with a Christian or a Christian with a Jew, each shall, as the subject may require, institute proceedings and prove in accordance with his law. Just as any Christian may prove through his own public oath and that of a Christian and Jewish witness that the guarantors placed by him in favor of the Jew have fulfilled their duty, so also the Jew, through a public oath taken by himself, one other Jew, and a Christian, prove that the guarantors placed by him in favor of the Christian have fulfilled theirs. He shall be forced to do no more by either the plaintiff or the judge. if the Jews should have amongst themselves a litigation or a matter for judicial decision, they shall be judged by their own peers and not by others. If it should happen that one of them, a perfidious person, should wish to hide the truth of something done amongst them, the man who governs the synagogue for the bishop shall make this person confess the truth according to their law. Should, however, they be incriminated in a major lawsuit, they may bring the matter before the emperor if they so desire. And this gave a substantial amount of Jewish internal legal autonomy going beyond what we saw in the Theodosian Code, for example, in Germany. And this was confirmed, this charter was confirmed by Frederick I in 1157 and extended to all Germany by Frederick II in 1236, and continued more or less by the Holy Roman Empire down to its extinction at the beginning of the 19th century. So at least in theory, in certain areas of Christendom, there was a substantial amount of Jewish autonomy. On the other hand, as we will see from the letter of the Rambam that we'll spend this evening reading, this is certainly not the case throughout all of the Christian Empire. And in contrast to what we usually do, this is such a marvelous letter that I think we will just simply spend most of the rest of tonight just reading it.
Yes. Are you saying basically that in this early period in the Middle Ages, or as pointed out, the law of France was central and sort of spilled out to Germany? Because Louis the Pious and Louis the Fourth were French.
Yeah. Well, it was part of the Holy Roman Empire, and this was then extended, as I said, by Frederick to a good bit of Germany. I mean, where Germany began and France ended is not all that particularly clear in that period. So what I want to do is read...
I have another question. Mm-hmm. What was not clear to me in that reading was what happens when there's a legal dispute between a Jew and a Christian.
Yeah, it's not clear from that reading, but there was definitely a possibility that it was a mechanism, and it was definitely a possibility that a Jewish judge would on occasion have authority even over Christians. If there was one was the plaintiff and the other was the defendant. I've forgotten which was which, how it works.
But even that could be done to you,
that's it. Even that, in that particular locale, remember, as we're going to find out, I'm trying to derive things from the actual sources, so I'm reading to you from that particular charter. We're now going to read, and it'll take us perhaps, I hope, most of the evening, to read from a letter that the Rambam wrote to Pinchas Hadayan. So Rav Pinchas Hadayan was someone who immigrated to Egypt from the letter we gather that he came from southern France, from Provence, or someplace like that, and was appointed by the Rambam as a judge in Alexandria. So the Rambam himself was residing in Frostat, which is where the head, I guess it was Salah Adin, was the head of the Egyptian government, and and remember, the Rambam had by that time acquired the central authority of leadership over the Jewish community, and had more or less displaced the authority of the Gaonim in Baghdad from any position of power in Egypt. But nevertheless, the judgeship was centrally organized in Egypt itself. So Pinchas Hadayan, who came to this area somewhere in the 1180s or something like that, was the judge appointed by one of the judges, a Dayan, appointed by the Rambam in Alexandria. And as we shall see from this letter, the relationship between the Rambam and Rav Pinchas Hadayan was a bit rocky, to say the least. But the letter itself has only a small amount of bearing on our main subject, but the letter sheds so much light on the personality of the Rambam and on many other related issues that I think it's worth a little bit of a detour to read this.
What year is this?
So this was written sometime between 1185 and 1195.
The Rambam wrote this letter?
This was a letter written by the Rambam. And he wrote it in Hebrew because with Pinchas Hadayan coming from Europe was not fluent in Arabic. So although much of the Rambam's correspondence is in Arabic, this particular letter was actually written in Hebrew. Okay?
Hmm?
This is a recent edition, 1995 edition of the Rambam's
correspondence. Someone else put in the
document. Yeah. Okay. So let's just read it and translate it as we go along, because this Kvar hodati l'hadrat kod gedolat hadsho v'ronav rabbanot pinchas shin tzadik. I don't know what that stands for. Some honorific hadayan hagadol hamaoz hamigdol hechacham hamuflab rabbi shmuel harav zeichet tzadik beracham. I've already written to you shelo netacharti l'hashiv al tchavecha rishanim v'achronim, that I haven't delayed answering. He apparently had a backlog of letters from Pinchas Hadayan that he hadn't yet gotten around to answering. I have delayed answering your letters only ela mepnei choli, because I was ill. Lo mepnei dvarim sheshamati, not because I heard any ill reports. She'einim mekablei lashon hara, I do not listen to bad gossip. Va'ani yodea shekol davar she'atak me'ish le'ish yishtaneh, anything that's passed from one person to another changes. And various things get added on. And especially those who enjoy gossip. Even if I had heard with my own ears that so and so took honor in my shame or rebelled against what I said, even if he cursed, I don't feel this nor resent it. Ela emchol ve'eslach. Ba'asher hishba'atani b'chtav zeh ha'achron shelo ashlechacha mifanai v'chol oto inyan, and you demanded of me, wanted to swear me that I don't throw you away and all that. Din chalila li imekor shel natati ve'imetot zasher baniti. I would not destroy anything that I built. Ba'al ya'ale al libchol olam. Lo ata, lo talmid, kal v'chomer l'chacham, shi'agia elecha mimeni ra'a o shum tzar. Don't let you have any evil or pain come from me. Afilu l'haknit v'dvarim, even a mild reprimand.
What really happened? He delayed. What
apparently happened is that Pinchas Hadayan had sent him a number of letters to which he didn't get a response. And then he finally had heard that the Rambam was angry with him and wrote him a letter saying, is it true that you haven't answered me because you're mad at me for this or the other reason? And this is the Rambam's response. Okay? This is just a marvelous letter. Let's just go on. V'zeh she'amar lecha hadayan hachasid she'ka'asti harveh al k'tavcha harishon. That which the pious judge, one of the members of the Rambam's court in Fashtat, said to you, that I got very angry at your first letter. Ematama, that's true. Ba'alai k'tav malei sigim. This letter full of all kinds of thorns came to me. Va'ani chole natu lamot. I'm deadly, deathly ill. Heich lo echos. How could I not get angry? Katuv bo benusach zeh. This is what it says in the letter, the first letter that you sent me. Kacha. Kamu kol ha'am mikatsa el katsa ziknehem uktanehem uvo'u elai leimor ein anu yicholim laseit od divrechem. The entire community, from edge to edge, the young and the old, came and said to me, we can't bear your decisions. Sheharei atem matirim ma shetirtzu v'te'esru ma shetachtitzu. You rabbis will prohibit whatever you feel like and allow whatever you feel like. We have a tradition from our forefathers, from early on, a person who has had sex or who has had a sexual emission should not pray until he goes to the bath.
Perhaps not the next one.
Yes. O bayam v'yitar v'yinakeh et atzmo.
Could it be any emission?
No, balkeri means sexual emission. No, it means sexual. But achshav, and now hitartem litpalel ulhikanes bakneset velekrot batara below chitza uvelo tahara. And here you have decided that it is permissible to come into the shul and read in the Torah without washing. Im kein hu adat shel Yisrael nelech v'nodia l'plilim. If this is the nature of Jewish law, then why shouldn't we just become Muslims? I mean, if you rabbis can keep changing the rules like this, what? That was the.
Oh. That's very strange. Because
Zen nusach dvarecha ot ba'ot. This is the language of your letter, of your letter for letter, of your words, letter for letter. V'yata re'ei gam re'ei im dvarecha heim hachamachisim afilu lehilel hazakeh. Now come see that your words would even make Hillel HaZaken, who is the world's most patient person, angry. Oh, ain't not. Would they or would they not get even Hillel HaZaken angry? Amarta shakamu kol ha'am's kenim uktanim. You said that the entire populace came, the old and the young. V'davar yadu'o ba'u shelo ha'yu kulam. It's certainly not true that the entire population invaded your house to protest against this particular ruling. Just a number of fools raised this protest. It certainly wasn't the entire population. Furthermore, you put words in their mouth. They certainly didn't come with all of this highfalutin language that you wrote to me. You, by putting words in their mouth, made them appear as if these were the words of great scholars. Ba'alei masoret ha-kabbalah me'avoteihem. Carry is a tradition. Ba'od sheba mikval ha-dvarim she'esdarta v'tikanta, and also that came as a consequence of various things that you organized and enacted, she'asur likot ba-Torah v'lekanes levet ha-kneset ela achar rechitza mikeri. That it's prohibited to read in the Torah or even enter the synagogue unless you took a bath, unless you bathed after the keri. Ba'od katafta v'oto ha-ktav, and you also wrote in that same letter that they requested that you give a sermon on the subject and tell them how serious this matter is. In fact, you gave such a sermon. Should we discuss this matter as if something was an easy or difficult, a serious violation? What is serious here? The idea of not reading in the Torah until after, or going or praying until after going to the bath after a sex, is only in Babylon and in Spain. In all of the towns of Italy, but throughout Italy and France and Provence, your country, may olam no lo da hagubim in hagzeh. They never had this custom. Asim tamid, and it's it always happens. Sheyavo chachamim gedolim rabbanim me'areichem l'sfarad. It always happened that people would come from your country, from Provence or Italy to Spain, because yiru altanu v'chatzim mikeri, and when they would see that we would necessarily take a bath after sex before prayer. So Hakim alein will be amun. They laugh at us and say, "Limadetem in the kiyut ha-Yishma'elim. You learned your laws of purity from the practice of the Muslims." Okay. Umin hadin haya. The Rambam is saying to them, saying to Pinchas Adayan, how could you give a drasha about the seriousness of this offense when in your country, where you came from, they never had this practice, and this was only a practice which was in Babylon and in Spain, and in fact, in the Muslim countries particularly, and in fact, when a scholar from France or Italy would come visit us, he would make fun of this particular practice, saying that you Jews have learned this requirement to go to the bath before reading the Torah from the Muslims.
Whoever
has such a custom.
You used the phrase before, and I don't know what one of the words means.
Got me angry. This also angered.
How does he know a person took a bath or not?
Everyone knows.
When it comes to show, he wants to down to the
owner. His nose.
First of all, it's a good question. Let's just read further in the... Your question will be raised by the Rambam himself in a minute. so just let's read a little bit further. Let's read further. Umin habdin haya, certainly the law should have been, kishashamata devrei otam ha'aniyim, when you heard the words of those fools, shekamu, when they got up to raise this problem, shetigar b'hem, that you should have gotten angry with them, v'toreka halacha v'lo techapeh, you should have told them what the law is without covering it. So the tzedia lahem shedat Moshe Rabbeinu, that according to the law of Moshe Rabbeinu, she'ein divrei Torah makablim tumah, the words of the Torah cannot acquire tumah. V'shebal keri mutar likanes b'beit haKnesset v'lekvot b'sefer Torah, and that a person who has had sex is allowed to come into shul and read in the Torah. Aval lehitpalel, on the question of praying, hadavar taloy b'minhag. This depends upon custom. Kol Yisrael shebein hayishma'elim nahagu l'rachotz. All of the Jews that lived amongst the Muslims had the custom of washing before prayer. V'chol Yisrael shebein ha'reilim lo nahagu l'rachotz. And all of the Jews who lived among the uncircumcised, that means the Christians, did not have the practice of washing. Ve'atem lo tishanu min hagavoteichem. You should not change the practice of your forefathers. Ve'asur lachem lazuz min haminhag. Kach haya l'chalom ma'ol horo. That's what you should have said to this crowd. Aval ahava makalkelet ashura, v'sina makalkelet ashura, mutnei ha'sina sh'ahar b'encho uvein Rab Daniel, some dispute that you have with Rabbi Daniel, I don't know who he was, ka'asta v'samachta l'rikshat elu hakamim alav, and therefore you decided to use this as a tool to defeat this alternative opinion. And for that reason, the true law escaped your attention. And this poor fool, who said that I, the Rambam, don't wash after sex, he's just telling a lie. The only time that I did not bathe after sex was when I was ill. How could I change my practice and the practice of my forefathers without a reason? And how would he know whether I did or did not bathe? How would he check whether I washed or not? His words are just dreams. I've explained to you why I got angry. Next. You also wrote in that same letter, Nusach Zekach. This is what you wrote. The words of your works, of your compendium, light the world. Ah, lemisha asak betalmud viyodea shema chachamim, asher asku venasnu venatnu betalmudu v'gemara. But to someone who actually studied the Talmud and knows the names of the rabbis, who dealt and discussed the Talmud and the Gemara. V'lo l'taseik ha'hem l'vadam v'yishkachat shem ha'tana'im v'amoreim min ha'olah. For this person, he will not forget the names of the various rabbis who said this or that. V'kol shekein shalomdim v'einom yodim malomdim, but certainly those who study and don't, they may forget, but certainly those who study and don't know what they're studying, v'to'im v'imrei ha'chibur, who might even make a mistake in your composition, and don't understand what you're saying, from what source does this fountain flow, and so now Rav Pinchas Adayan was complaining that the Rambam didn't give sources, references in his work.
So particularly tells people not to study the Gemara, but only to read the
Torah. Let's see. The Rambam denies that. Va'od katuv nisach zeh, ra'oi lahadratcha laharot la'olam, shelo yanichu ha'gemara miletaseik ba'vachama. And you should instruct the public that they shouldn't stop studying the Gemara and only study, and refrain from merely studying your composition. Ba'al kol zeh ha'inyan, ra'oi lahochichacha. On all this matter, you should be reprimanded. I certainly know what you were thinking about. Even though you only hinted at what was really bothering you. First you should know, שאני חס ושלום לא אמרתי לא תתעסקו לא בגמרא ולא בלכות הרב רבי יצחק או זולתו. I never said don't study the Gemara or the Rif or anything else. היודע עד, God knows, שיש לי כמו שנה וחצי, that for the last year and a half, שלא למדו אצלי חיבורי, they did not study my composition with me, אלא שניים או שלושה אנשים למדו מקצת ספרים. Only two or three men studied parts of my books. ורוב התלמידים רצו ללמוד ההלכות של הרב. Most of the students wanted to learn the Rif. ולימדתי אותם כמה פעמים כל ההלכות. And I studied all of the Rif with them several times. גם שניים שאלו ללמוד הגמרא. And two of them actually asked to study the Gemara, well, imaradutam masechtot asher shalu, and I taught them those various tractates which they asked. But he anitzi viti o alta alibish esrof kol asfarim shenasal lepanai mebnei chiburi. Did I ask that people burn all the books that were written before my composition? Halo b'feirush amarti b'tchilat chiburi shelo chibarti oto ela mebnei kotzer haruach, that I only wrote this because of the shortness of spirit. ומי שאינו יכול לרד לעומק התלמוד ולא יבין ממנו דרך האסור והמותר, והערכתי בדבר זה הרבה. It's not exactly what he wrote in his introduction, but all right. וזה שאמרת, and this that you said, על שמות החכמים, that I omit the names of the various scholars, כבר הזכרתי שמות רובי החכמים, תנאים ואמוראים בתחילת החיבור. I mentioned most of the names of the תנאים and אמוראים at the beginning of my composition. האם כן הוא שכל מי שפסק הלכות ויעשה סולת נקייה גרם לשם שמיים להתחלל? Is it true that anyone who actually comes to a decision and sifts out the pure flour causes the name of heaven to be desecrated? כמו שעלה על לבך, like you thought, כבר קדמוני גאונים וגדולים שחיברו חיבורים ופסקו הלכות בלשון עברי ובלשון ערבי בעניינים ידועים. Many people have preceded me and have written works which have decided halachot, whether in the Hebrew language or in the Arabic language, in certain and fixed matters. אבל לפסוק הלכות בכל התלמוד, but to decide the law for the entire Talmud, and for all the laws of the Torah, lo kedamani adam achar Rabbeinu HaKadosh v'siyato akdosha. Nobody has preceded me other than Rabbeinu HaKadosh.
What about the Rif?
He didn't do all of the halachot. Only none of the karbanot. Means the Rabbeinu Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Judah the Prince. Just because this is inclusive, does this, because my work is so inclusive, does this mean that the name of heaven is desecrated? This is a great stupefaction. And as if you're talking about the ignorant students, ein biad kol mi shechiber chibur, it's impossible for someone who writes a book to go along with the book and check and make sure that this and that person doesn't read the book. Marvelous statement. He can't be responsible for the readership of his book, that someone unqualified might read the book and therefore derive some harm from it.
You should
know the census. Right. You should know, שכבר אמרתי בתחילת חיבורי, I already said at the beginning of my book, שהעניין שתפסתי בו, שיהיה דרך המשנה ובלשון המשנה. The path that I chose would be that my composition should be along the methodology of the Mishnah and in the language of the Mishnah. אבל אתם לא שמתם לבבכם לדבריי. But you did not pay attention to what I wrote in my preface. ולא ידעתם ההפרש שיש בין דרך המשנה ודרך התלמוד. You haven't paid attention to the difference that exists between the method of the Mishnah and the method of the Gemara. Mupnei she'ein inyan ze yadua eslachem, because you did not appreciate this distinction, katapta li b'ktav she'ni nusach ze kafa, you wrote to me in your second letter, v'gam kesh'ani ma'anyin b'chibur shel Rabbeinu motzei ani behem pa'amim rabot dvarim ha'nistarim me'inai. When I read your works, I find things which are hidden from me, which I don't know their sources. Mupnei she'ein b'lo ra'ayot, because they were without argumentation. And my mind isn't clear enough to understand where you got this or that law from. This is what you wrote. Now I will explain. You should know, my friend, anyone who's written a book, whether it's a book in the Torah scholarship or in other forms of scholarship, whether it's from the ancient non-Jewish scholars, he's referring to Plato and Aristotle and such, or from medical doctors, he follows one out of two methods.
Do the Rephaim also refer to the so-called doctors in the church?
No. The Rephaim means medical doctors, physicians. He's referring to Galen. Oder chibur, a person either writes a codex, a composition, oder pirush, or he writes a commentary. Veder chibur, a person who's writing a composition, a codex, lahazkir hadvarim hanachonim bilvad, he writes only the correct matters, velo kushya, without any discussion, uvelo pirush, without a question, without an answer, uvelo shumra ayaba olam, and without any proof whatsoever, k'mosha asar Rabbeinu HaKadosh b'chibur ha-Mishnah. Just like Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, when he wrote the Mishnah, did not give any of the, or very rarely gave any argumentation. Similarly, a person who writes a composition as opposed to a commentary will just give you the final results. V'derach ha-pirush, but if someone is writing a commentary, la'azkir ha-dvarim ha-nachonim, he writes the correct opinions, udvarim acherim sotrim otam, and then things that contradict the correct opinions, v'hakushyot al kol davar, and the difficulties with each thing, v'hapeiruk, and the answer to the difficulties, v'haraya, shezeh hadavar emet v'zeh sheker, the proof that this is true and this is false, o shezeh ra'ui v'zeh en eroi, this is suitable and this is not suitable, v'zehu derech ha-Talmud, that is the methodology of the Talmud. Shahatalmud Perush HaMishnah, because the Talmud is the explanation of a Mishnah. Ba'ani lo asiti Perush ela chibur. I did not write a commentary, but rather a composition. Derech HaMishnah. V'shema yomar mi shelo yavin, halo b'mishnah katuv shemot ha-chachamim, v'yedameh shezogi ha-ra'aya. And if someone might argue that occasionally in the Mishnah the names of scholars are mentioned as proof, einzur. Ploni omer kach, uploni omer kach. So and so says this, and so and so says that. Ein zu ra'aya. This is not brought as proof. Ra'aya hi lahudia mepnei ma amar ploni kach, mepnei ma amar ploni kach. Zuhi ra'aya. Proof would have to be explaining why so and so said this, and why so and so said that. Da she'im ani garamti la'aved shema chachamim. And if I caused the names of the sages to be lost, mepnei she'amarti dvarim hanachonim she'im al pi ha'mishpat. Stam below Shem Avram, because I mentioned the various laws anonymously without their people, without the names of the people who said it. Derech Rabbeinu HaKadosh tapasti. I followed the methodology of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Gam hu asa ze melefanai. He did this before me. Shekol stam sha'amar below Shem Adam. Any law that Rabbeinu HaKadosh mentioned without mentioning a particular person's name. Kulan devrei chachamim acherim him. They're all words of some other sages. Yotam chachamim acherim lo midatam amru. And those other sages didn't invent it out of their own mind. Ela mipi acherim, ve'acherim echerim. They got it from somebody else, and those from somebody else. Ad Moshe Rabbeinu. Ukeshem shelo hikpidu hatanaim v'amoraim al shmot kol achamim shemiyosh v'reinu ad yemehem. Just as the scholars in the Talmud didn't list the whole chain of tradition when they enunciated any particular law. She'ein ladavar sof. If that, you never come to an end. No end to that. Kach lo nakpid anu al shmotam im eskiru im huzku or lo huzku. So there, similarly, we don't care whether people's names are mentioned or not. Umato elat yesh bazeh. And what is the value of this? Ba'alu amu b'feirush b'kama mukamot ro'a Rebbe divrei shel Rabbi Ploni b'kach b'satam la'kavatei. Rebbe felt that the law was according to such and such a rabbi, and therefore anonymously stated the Mishnah, read, gave the Mishnah according to that opinion. U'dvarav shel Rabbi Ploni b'kach b'satam la'kavatei. And similarly, that he decided according to someone else. Hidei b'feirush shehadvarim shera'o tam Rebbe shehen halacha p'suka etzlo. So you see that those things that Rabbeinu HaKadosh saw to be the actual decision, he said them anonymously without mentioning anybody's name. And the Gemara says in many cases that this particular decision is a minority opinion, but Rabbeinu HaKadosh did not bother to list the names. Those things which Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was unable to decide, ela sheyesh behem machloket, but rather ones which for which there was a dispute, v'lo hayta da'ato notel le'achad mishnei hadvarim, and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi did not lean to either one of the two opinions, amar shnei hadvarim b'shem amram. Then Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi stated both opinions. Rabbi Ploni omar kach, Rabbi Ploni omar kach. V'yizkir shemot hachachamim sheshama mihem o shehin krovim lezmano. And he mentioned the opinions of those rabbis that he heard these opinions from, or close to his generation. Lo shem rabbeihem v'rabbei rabbeihem. Not their ancestors and their ancestors, the teachers and the teachers' teachers. Mepnei sheyesh b'yoto hazman, rabbim sheosim kedivrei zev, rabbim sheosim kedivrei ha'acher, ha'cholek olam. וכבר אמר לנו זל מפני מה הזכיר שמות שהזכיר במקצת הלכות בהדיה, and the Gemara says why in certain occasions did Rabbi indeed mention the name of a person, למה מזכירים דברי שמאי והלל לבטלם ללמד לדורות וכולו, ולמה מזכירים דברי היחיד והם המרובים שאם ירד בית דין את דברי היחיד יסמוך עליו וכולו, ולמה מזכירים דברי היחיד בין המרובים לבטלם. In other words, the Gemara gives various reasons why, under special circumstances, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi bothered to mention a specific person who said this, that, or the other thing. Hinei b'feirush, therefore you see explicitly, she'ein ra'ui l'haskir ela halakha ha'psukah b'rvad, that only the actual decision should be mentioned. Ubiyoto hazman shal yusin elu kach ve'elu kach v'ayu ha'makablim ha'vashalmin echad kibel kedivrei zeh ve'achar kibel kedivrei zeh mepnei zeh hu tzrach lazkir. Only when there was a difference of opinion, when one person was doing according to one tradition and the other, he felt the need to mention it. But kevan shechibarti ani derach ha'mishkan. Since I am writing, wrote my work in the style of the Mishnah, and the Talmud has already decided each and every halacha, befrat, either in detail, or bichlal min haklalot sheposkin behem halachot, or according to the various rules which allow you to reach a decision, ve'ein sham shnei ma'asim, and there are no two opinions, lama ani maskir shem ha'ish she'en halacha kamoto. Why should I mention the name of the person whose opinion didn't carry? Similarly, why should I mention the name of the person whose views did carry? She'ein oto hadin divrei zeh hayachid nizkar b'Talmud kmo Abaye v'Rava. Ela, it's not that Abaye or Rava had this or that opinion. Ela merabim mepnei merubim mepnei merubim umepnei zeh b'charti shelo liten makom laminim lirdot. And therefore, I decided that I should not allow a place where the Kara'im, I assume, is the meaning he's talking about here, to argue. Sharei heino umim al divrei yechidim atem somchim. The Kara'ites say that you rely on private rabbinical opinion, ve'ein okay. Ela alafim uruvavot mepnei alafim uruvavot. Thousands and tens of thousands from thousands and tens of thousands. Ulefi inyan ze amarti betchilat achibur. And for that reason, I said at the beginning of my composition, my work, Ploni uveitino kiblu miploni uveitino kidei lahodia. So this court received a tradition from that court in order to emphasize shehakabbalah rabim merabim v'lo yachid miyachid. It was many from many and not one from another. V'laze haita muritzati u'magamati. That was my purpose. Shekol halacha v'halacha timatzei stam. Every opinion should be written anonymously. Kolomar shehim divrei hakol. לא שתיאמר בשם פלוני עד שיבוא ממנו חורבת המינים האלו שבעטו בכל התורה שבעל פה. Not, so in other words, they should not be attacked by these heretics who reject the entire Torah Shabbat Peh, the entire oral law. Lefi sharu otam b'shem ploni u'pleni. V'dimu shelo amad avaz ela olam ela oto ploni migato. And they imagine that this and this statement was an invention of this and this rabbi. Therefore, I decided not to mention any names whatsoever. V'ze she'amarta she'timtza b'chibur dvarim ha'nisfarim. And the fact that you mentioned that in my composition you find things which are hidden, mipnei shehem below ra'aya, because there are no proofs abroad, ve'ein da'at chatzlula, and because your mind isn't clear, lo haya l'cholom ha'kein, ela ilu hayu, you should not have said that, ilu hayu b'chibur dvarim sha'utzeti otam mipilpuli umidati. You can only make that argument if there are things in my composition that I deduced from my own thoughts, from my own argumentation. V'katavti otam stam, and wrote them without bringing a argument or a proof. V'lo heveti olam ha'aya. V'ze lo ositi otam le'olam. This I never did. I never wrote a deduction without my own deduction, without saying that it was my own thing. Galei ozen chachmata v'da. He said, Rabbi Pinchas Adayin said, I couldn't find a proof for this or that or the other thing. And Rambam says, you should not have said that if I depended upon argumentation to reach on deduction to reach my conclusion, and did not state that this was my own deduction. But the Rambam says, I never did that.
Is he just speaking about the Mishnah Torah? Or
he's talking about his Mishnah Torah, about the Yerach Hazak.
How long after the Yerach Hazak was written is this letter?
Well, I don't know, 15, 20 years. Galei ozen chachmatcha v'da. Listen to what I have to say. Shekol hadvarim hastam. Everything that's in my composition that's stated without an argument, shebo, Talmud aruchu b'feirush. This was something that was actually written in the Talmud. But Babli, either in the Babylonian Talmud, or by Yerushalmi, or mi sifra v'sifri, O Mishnah Arucha Otosefer. This was either written in the Babylonian Talmud, or in the Jerusalem Talmud, or in the Sifra, or in the Sifri, or in the Mishnah, or in the Tosefer. Al Elu Samachti Umehem Chibarti. I relied on all of those sources, and that's how I wrote my composition. If something is from a Tshuva of the Gaonim, Omar B'Feirush Haru HaGaonim. If it's not from the Talmud, but rather it's from the Gaonic sources, then I will say explicitly that it's what the Gaonim taught. Oh, Takanat Achronim, or that it was a later enactment. B'chuli. V'chayot se b'zeh. V'davar shehu mipulpuli, anything that I decided from my own argumentation, Omar b'feirush yira'el lisha davar kach v'kach. I will then say explicitly that it is my opinion that it's such and such. Oh, ani omer mikana talomei che davar kach v'kach. Or I'll say from here you can deduce that something is such and such.
He says Horu Hagoni.
Yeah.
Whereas the other one, he says Takanas.
He says he will use. What he's saying is that whenever, what the Rambam is saying is that unless he says otherwise, all of his statements in the Yerach Hazakah are explicit Talmudic rulings. If they're not explicit Talmudic rulings, but are Gaonic rulings, he'll say so. Either Haru HaGaonim or Tiknu HaGaonim. In other words, it was either a decision of the Gaonim or a legislation of the Gaonim. Or he says, if it's my own deduction or my own opinion, I will say that this is my own deduction or own opinion. The Rambam is making the assertion that every place where he writes a halacha, it is based on a Talmudic source, unless he explicitly says otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But here he's accepting
it. No, he's saying that he will say that this is a Gaonic ruling, and he'll mention it explicitly.
They were still doing Torah.
Yes, but I mean, but usually when the Rambam is saying this, he means that this doesn't have the authority of the rest of the book, right? He says, Yira'eli, it's my opinion. He means the reader to say, well, this is the Rambam's opinion, but it's not a Talmudic decision.
But there is a different level for Torah, Gaonic. Horu HaGaonim, that's not the same as the
It doesn't have the same authority as a standard ruling of the Rambam, for which he doesn't bring a source.
Yeah.
Yes, he makes that distinction. Okay. מאחר וזוהי הראיה, etc. מאחר שהודעתי בתחילת החיבור שכולו מתלמוד בבלי וירושלמי בספרה בספרי בתוספתא. אבל This is what I said in my introduction. אבל היה לך לומר שתמצא בו דברים הנסתרים שאין אתה זוכר באיזה מקום נאמרו. What you could have said is not that you didn't follow my logic, but you simply, there were various things which I stated that you didn't remember from the Talmud where they actually were. So you shouldn't argue that you were not clear-headed enough to follow my reasoning, but you should say that your memory didn't serve you well to be able to recall what the sources are. Okay? V'zeh v'adai yera lecha, and that certainly can happen to you, u'lechol chacham b'sheba olam, or to any...